Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
We welcome you this morning to Christian Worldview. So glad that you've joined us here, broadcasting the truth in every way, shape, and form possible here on the Tyranny Response Network. Christian Worldview is our anchor program, our great program, I think so at any rate. Of course, I'm the show host, so what would you expect? In Greenville, currently it's 57 degrees. It's going to get up to a high of about 77 degrees today, pretty warm. Day towards the end of April, 29th today. We're going to have afternoon showers, so be prepared for that as you make your way on out to work. Also be prepared to attend Confederate Memorial Day if you can tomorrow. Come and honor those who wore the gray Saturday. That's tomorrow, April the 30th at 2 o'clock in Clinton Square, Clinton, South Carolina. And I've heard that last night when I was at the League of the South meeting, they told me, no, you don't understand. They don't pronounce it in Clinton, Clinton. They pronounce it Clinton, Clinton. And I've never been able to speak Southern very well, even though I am from the true South, of course. Haven't been able to catch on to some of that. Just like the city of Greer is not pronounced Greer, it's pronounced Gurr, Gurr. So at any rate, you need to learn the local lingo just like you would if you were in England. And apparently down in Clinton, Clinton, tomorrow, they're going to have the Confederate Memorial Day at Clinton Square. For information or details, call James DeShields after 6 p.m. Monday through Friday or tonight. 864-969-5029. That's 864-969-5029. Hope you can make it out there. You'll be glad that you did. Also want to encourage you to look at the Times Examiner. The Times Examiner, a very important piece of literature that comes out periodical every week. It's called The Conservative Voice of the Palmetto State Drives Liberals Crazy because it's full of things that of articles that contain the truth. Columnists from a great nationally syndicated columnist like Walter Williams and Thomas Sowell are in there. You'll also be able to read Marvin Olasky, Joseph Sobran, Charlie Reese, Phyllis Schlafly, as well as local favorites, including yours truly, the Tyranny Response Unit. And this upcoming week will be my final segment of Christian Views on Rebellion, Part 7. The current issue is Part 6, of course. And then we have other local favorites like Ben Graydon and occasionally Dr. Stephen Yates. So be sure to pick up a copy of the Times Examiner at 44 Pine Knoll Drive if you can. Better yet, call Bob Dill at 864-268-0576. It's 864-268-0576. And you can request a subscription for a mere $25 per year, $27 per year if you live out of state. Christian Exodus people, take notice. Again, Bob Dill's number, 864-268-0576. When you're flipping through the Times Examiner this week, make sure you take a look at the bottom right-hand corner of page 5. I'm just going to give a plug for my son, Joshua. It says there, Joshua Coben, Eagle Scout, talks about Joshua's plans for college and his accomplishments in the Eagle Scout. I just want to give a special applause to Josh for doing such a great job and getting his Eagle Scout rank as well. As being able to succeed in so many ways academically. He's right in the middle of finals week here at North Greenville College, probably on his way, driving to work, hearing my voice as we as I speak. And I just want to encourage him and show you, to tell everybody how much I appreciate him. And if any of you would like to send him a note of compliment for his efforts, I would encourage you just to read the little article there in the Times Examiner if you can. But you can send him a note of appreciation to Joshua77@mail.com. Joshua77@mail.com. Hope you will. Well, lots going on today in the news, I'll tell you. There's so many things. This is one of those days I've got so many emails piled up. The research staff went into overdrive yesterday for some reason. Not just the regular research staff. We have all sorts of extra researchers contributing stuff, and I'm not sure how we're going to get to all of it, frankly, today. There were too many things going on. Also, I had an interesting conversation by email with Corey Burnell from Christian Exodus on issues of something that were brought up the other day, killing innocents in war, especially with respect to the nuclear bomb dropped on Hiroshima or Hiroshima. I want to talk about that if we can, possibly a little later in the show. But at any rate, I wanted to start off with something that was, I just thought, quite shocking about Hillsdale College. You know, Hillsdale College has long been recognized as one of the free market bastions. If you're going to learn economics as an undergrad, you have to go to Hillsdale College and or Grove City College, either one of those two. And they've kind of vied for the top honors on producing Austrian economists here in the United States. In Latin America, it's Universidad Francisco Marroquín in Guatemala, which is just as good as those two. In fact, it's an excellent college. Taught there for a little while myself. May go back there again. In fact, I'm even thinking about possibly making a short trip down to teach there for a month or so this year. At any rate, here's a report on Rockwell.com blog by Thomas DiLorenzo. Of course, this is one of our favorites here on Christian Worldview, because he wrote the book The Real Lincoln and truly exposed many of Lincoln's activities, which were not well known beforehand, and also showed us how many good Northerners they were. Just like the League of the South meeting last night, they said they weren't opposed to Northerners. They like Northerners. They just don't like Yankees. And you think that there was a big difference between the two, and I'd have to agree. I keep thinking more and more, even though I often call that war in 1861 to 65 the War of Northern Aggression, probably shouldn't call it that. It should probably be the War of Lincoln's Aggression, or the War of Yankee Aggression, because there were just so many Northerners who supported the South and the Southern cause and secession, and did not concur and even wanted to comply with the Lincolnites. At any rate, I'd read an article here on Christian Worldview some time ago, remember, from a professor up there at Hillsdale College, and you know, his name just escapes me all of a sudden. At any rate, he promoted the Lincolnite vision, and he was in the history department, and I thought this was a black eye for Hillsdale. Well, apparently it's getting worse, and here's what Thomas D. Lorenzo says about Hillsdale's transformation to state worship. He says, Hillsdale College in Michigan used to be known as a symbol of private property, quality private education, and the best of civil society in America. Along with Grove City College, it was long admired by conservatives and libertarians for refusing to accept any government funds. It is now being transformed into an institution devoted to worshiping the state and global central planning. About 4 years ago, Hillsdale hired a new president, Straussian neocon Larry Arn, who had previously been president of the Claremont Institute for 15 years. One of his first orders of business, apparently, was to divert funds from education to begin erecting two large statues, one of Lincoln and the other of Churchill, on the campus. Think about this. Hillsdale has been transformed from a model of libertarian education to state worship, with two statues of politicians dominating the political campus landscape. Not statues of Einstein, Aristotle, Locke, or even Mises, but of two warmongering politicians who have in common the policy of bombing cities populated by civilians, among other things. A former Hillsdale faculty member told me that Arn is trying to turn the institution into a training academy for neocon foreign policy interventionism, that is, perpetual global warfare, in the name of saving the world. Even the names of courses are being changed to signify this change. America's role in the world, etc. The latest issue of Imprimis, the college's newsletter, contains long, rambling bit of Lincoln idolatry and mythology by Straussian high priest Harry Jaffa. Students are apparently being taught that statesmanship means bombing, invading, conquering, and occupying any country on earth that does not adhere to neocon ideology, with the war in Iraq being case study number one. I now recommend only Grove City College to friends, families, and neighbors who are seeking a high-quality and genuinely private education for their college-age children. Interesting blog. Of course, the other day I recommended both of these schools, and if this is what DiLorenzo is saying, I will have to echo his comments and say only Grove City remains as a place to go. Sad, but true. I hate to think that we only had two to begin with where you can learn free market economics, and now we're being put back down to only one with the case of Grove City. There are other schools available for doing other kinds of study. For instance, Laterno University, I mentioned, is very impressive in Cedarville as far as having a good Christian education in the liberal arts. But as far as learning free market economics, there were only two places, and now it seems there's only one. What a shame. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. Government is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. President George Washington.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
Public schools will never excel because they lack intellectual capital and have to compensate for too many social problems. Daniel Golden.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And we're providing that roughage as much as possible. But before we get to some roughage, I wanted to get to, in fact, we're going to get some roughage from Corey Burnell from Christian Exodus right away, since it has to do with the Lincolnites to some extent. However, he did send me a couple of emails yesterday, and one of them just happened to be funny. In fact, all of you at Christian Exodus no doubt got this mail message, but I thought I would relay it to you this morning as a little bit of lightness for the Christian Worldview Show, which is so often very serious, and it should be very serious. Thinking requires seriousness, not just amusement. You know the difference between amusement and musement, I hope. Musing is thinking deeply, or at least in some form, way, shape, or form. Amusement, that is the A negates the rest of the word, is the absence of thinking. We're not here to amuse you like other radio stations are. We're here, after you've had your second cup of coffee, to be able to help you think better. I mean, our goal is to have thinking Christians who listen to our program, or people that love liberty, even if you're not a Christian. We know there are many of you who are not who listen to the show. That's great. But we want you to be able to think. We want to bring up things which caused you to be challenged in your thinking, and to shed the various wrong ideas that you may have in your head. But at any rate, we have this letter from, or this email from Corey, and he says, our good friend Larry Saley in South Carolina sent me the following welcome message and put a big smile on my face. I thought it would be wise to share it with you all in his service, Corey. And this fellow Larry says, a few words of advice for our Christian Exodus folks. Don't wear black socks with sandals spelled S-A-N-D-E-L-S. The third person singular is y'all, and the third person plural is all y'all. Don't ever use the words you guys or use guys. Church is on Wednesday night and twice on Sunday. My excuse for not being in church on Wednesday, I put my son to bed at 7 p.m., is not sufficient. All tea is sweet tea, period. Grits are eaten with butter, salt, pepper, and perhaps a dash of hot sauce. Do not add milk or sugar. For those who drink, there are two adult beverages, bourbon and beer. Don't drink them in moderation. We do not care what color wine goes with which food. As far as schooling goes, there are two types of schools. There are the government schools, which are awful. Then there are the Christian schools. If the Christian school flies the Confederate flag, it is a safe bet that it is a good school. If it does not, inquire as to why they do not. This should be an item of concern. Also, tell our folks not to attend any church that flies the U.S. flag above the Christian flag. It is an indication that the church believes that the government is sovereign over the church. If you don't own a gun, folks will look at you like something is wrong with you. Gun ownership is considered a civic duty. You're expected to know when, where, and how to use it. The same can be said of chainsaws and windstorms. If it snows once a year, you or your children will have a family time. We don't have snowplows, and we aren't going to buy any. Build a fire, roast marshmallows, and enjoy yourself. You aren't going to work. Summer, get used to it. It's hot here. You can either sit inside, turn up the TV and the air conditioner, or sit on the side of the Black Water River with your children and fish. Personally, I take the river any day. My six-year-old doesn't catch much, and neither do I, but it's a lot better than listening to Power Rangers on cable satellite. Also, buy your little one a BB gun and lots of BBs. Finally, accept the fact that a lot of us really want to be a different nation from the old U.S. of A. We don't want their government checks, their programs, and we just want to be left alone. Y'all will see a bit more Confederate flags flying than American flags. That's okay. We consider the Confederate flag an American flag, and we see it as a reflection of home, hearth, and family. The thing that has drawn most CE folks to South Carolina is the tight-knit Christian community that exists here. Even if you talk funny, wear black socks and sandals, don't hunt or fish, you'll find a home here. Come on down, join a church, register to vote, and make a difference. We don't need 25,000. We could make do with 2,500. We've learned how a few people it takes. It makes a difference in a state election. Welcome to Dixie, and welcome to Dixie, all y'all. Larry. I thought that was cute. Hope you did, too. At any rate. Yes, Christian Exodus members are certainly welcome here. Well, Corey's more serious letter to me yesterday went as follows. He says, by the way, John, I meant to comment via email about your show yesterday and to use the use of weapons of mass destruction against innocents, quote unquote. The problem lies in the definition of innocent. First and foremost, any citizen of a foreign aggressor. I hope you don't mind me reading this on the air, Corey. Actually, this was just sent to me privately. I don't think it was sent to the Christian Worldview show. But I don't think you're going to mind me reading it. So I'm going to forge ahead and go ahead and read this. You know, I get confused sometimes about what goes into my box, whether it's for the show or just sent to me personally. I get so many emails, something around 170 a day. Most of it goes into the junk compartment, but not Corey Burnell. We make sure he stays out of the junk drawer. Usually has good things to say and appreciate his efforts in Christian Exodus. But anyway, instead of rambling on that point, let me continue back on over here. He says, first and foremost, any citizen of a foreign aggressor has a moral duty to oppose the aggression his government is involved in. I don't recall any stories of the Japanese populace doing anything other than supporting the war effort. Therefore, they're guilty of compliance with the aggression. This is what Corey is using hearsay to and from the liberal media, no doubt, to make these conclusions. Just noting that as I read along here. They worked at the industries that enabled the Japanese war machine. They were not innocent. In fact, they are. Can a complicit citizenry ever be innocent when it stands by and allows its government to invade peaceful peoples? The Japanese stand in stark contrast to, say, the French resistance during the German occupation. In that case, certainly some of the citizens in occupied France were innocent since they were involved in actively resisting the aggressing government. All governments are aggressors, Corey. But at any rate, next line. A second point is this. Who was actually innocent, the complicit Japanese citizens of Hiroshima or Nagasaki or the American soldiers would have had to invade the Japanese mainland to force surrender? Unquestionably, this was a choice between our boys or their men, women, and children. Certainly our boys should not have had to pay the price for the sins of the Japanese. My point is that the compliant citizenry of an aggressor state is not innocent, but rather deserves whatever destruction befalls them. Keep up the good work, my friend, Corey. And here was my first written response, and then I'll summarize some of the others afterward. You know what? We're come up to a break here at Christian Worldview, and I'm going to have to do this right when I get back from the break. I'm going to give my reply, and then we'll also give a couple other his reply back and my reply, and let you hear this very interesting topic and discussion, I think, about something we brought up on the show a couple days ago. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be right back.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Will Rogers said, those who complain about the high cost of government should be glad we're not getting all the government we're paying for.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking and will soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
We have the rights as individuals to give as much of our own money as we please to charity. But as members of Congress, we have no right so to appropriate a dollar of public money. Congressman Davy Crockett.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And here is my reply to Corey. Hey, Corey, your thesis has been used to defend the Lincolnites attacking 98% of Southerners who did not own slaves. How do you know that the Japanese citizens who were killed at Hiroshima and Nagasaki did not oppose their state? Are you saying that even if they opposed the policy by not winning, they still deserved to die? Many worked since they needed a job, not necessarily because they supported the imperial policy. Many common people had little idea what was going on, I bet. Just as many... go take a poll of the typical public school graduate here in America and see if he knows what's going on at all. About just about anything, you'll be just shocked if you haven't had any contact with the common rank-and-file American, by the way. I'm sure Japanese are no different. There is always a problem when you generalize or lump people together and make them personally responsible for the actions of others. I am not responsible for anything George W. Bush or Bill Clinton have done, regardless of whether or not my ideas are adopted as policy. I'm not responsible for abortion, even though my opposing point of view has not become enacted as a pro-life policy. The idea of our boys reeks of nationalism. My first allegiance is to Jesus Christ and His church, no matter what political confines contain them. Then I have an obligation to do good to all men, Galatians 6:10. So to me, there is no way to ever justify an action based on one's political allegiance. Better them than us, such a position is neither libertarian nor Christian, in my humble opinion. And the conversation was good. And by the way, Corey's a very gracious emailer back and forth. Sometimes I get very rowdy kind of people who write to me, and they get a little bit itchy and upset. Corey is actually someone who really seeks after knowing what the truth is, and I appreciate that very much, because it's so hard to find Christians these days who are truth seekers and thinkers. And indeed, it is the case with Corey. I appreciate his efforts. But at any rate, the conversation went on a little bit beyond that. Further, he wanted to continue to ask, well, you know, look, what are we going to do if we're in a tough situation? There's always going to be innocent people who are killed in a war. Well, that's always true. You can't avoid the fact that there'll be innocent casualties, but. Innocent, and I'm talking about in a just war. In a just war, there are going to be innocent people who die, and that is terrible. It's an awful thing. But you know what's far more awful is when you have innocent people that are intentionally killed. When you drop a nuclear bomb on a large population, call it Greenville or call it New York, anything in between, you're talking about killing innocent people that are probably on your side. You know, the United States government likes its power mongering so much, it has never been faithful to its allies. It's about as faithful as the devil is to his own elect. Just think about the actions we had in Eastern Europe during the Cold War, the resistance movements in Hungary and the Czech Republic, and how people fought for freedom, and we helped them. We went over there, you know, as the Americans and the CIA and so forth, and helped them out. And then what did we do? We just abandoned them to Stalin. We gave these people over to death. That was our way of rewarding these folks. This kind of foreign policy of just trashing innocent people is typical for the United States of America. It's been typical ever since Abraham Lincoln. Do you realize, folks, what Abraham Lincoln did to the South? He tried to, you know, maybe cover up a little bit, say, oh, I didn't realize all that was going on. He knew it. And he ordered Grant, the butcher, to come down here, as well as Sherman. These people came into the South, especially Sherman, and Sherman carved out, after the fall of Atlanta, a swath of land 60 miles wide from Atlanta over to Savannah, Georgia. Didn't burn Savannah, but they raped the women. They put them out on the street with the old men and children, burned down the homes, destroyed all of their food so they would push them into a point of starvation in Georgia. Then he turned upwards, did the same thing all the way up to Columbia, South Carolina, and then through the middle of North Carolina until he met up with Grant's forces in Virginia. I mean, they were ruthless in the way they treated individuals here in the South. Contrast that with the attitude of Robert E. Lee. I just saw that a recent documentary. I can't remember the exact title of it. We received it at the from one of our producers there at the Southern History Conference. The attitude of Robert E. Lee. Retreating from Gettysburg, Robert E. Lee was riding on his horse and passed by a Union soldier who had been wounded in the knee. And the Union soldier yelled out as loud as he could, "Hurrah for the Union!" and started mocking Robert E. Lee. And Robert E. Lee, the soldier said, in reports in his diary, that he was scared when he saw Robert E. Lee come to a halt on his horse and get down from his horse and walk over to the soldier. He said he thought Robert E. Lee was going to kill him. And what did Robert E. Lee do? He looked down at the young man and knelt down, then took his hand in his and said, and looked him straight in the eye and says, "Son, I hope you get well soon." With a great deal of seriousness and no malice in his voice, and then set down his hand and went on his way. He said the man who wrote that, the Northerner, said it changed his life forever. He used to think of Southerners as vicious, and he hated Southerners, and after that, he totally changed his attitude. Therein lies the difference between a typical Southern officer and the typical Southerner, probably, although I'm not going to extrapolate that far. I don't know. I'm not a historian, and I'm certainly not an anthropologist to know that much about the actual kinds of people populating the South. But there are certainly many stories of people who had the actions of Robert E. Lee, Stonewall Jackson, versus the vicious nastiness of people like Lincoln and Sherman and their attack on innocent civilians. This is a Lincolnite policy. It's been fed to us in the public school system. We've imbibed the Trumanite doctrine that, well, if I didn't drop the nuclear bomb and kill all those people in Japan, they would have surrendered, and that would have cost us an invasion, and by invasion we'd have to kill more people, blah, blah, blah. This is nonsense, people. We don't ever justify killing innocent people in order to save our own lives. I mean, that's just like saying, well, we don't have enough food on the planet, so we need to start aborting every child after, you know, one. The same thing they do in China. This is wrong, folks. You cannot build a case for justifying innocent slaughter on the basis of wanting to save the rest of the anthill. This is a Marxian, Darwinist idea. It's a Lincolnite idea, carried on by Harry Truman, carried on by Woodrow Wilson, carried on by Franklin Roosevelt, that is opposed to the Christian worldview, and we must oppose it. We must rid ourselves of this ridiculous thinking that killing innocent people is okay. All right, I'm on my soapbox here this morning. I said a fair amount there, and I think I'm going to stop for now, but I'd be real appreciative to hear from some of you if any of you would like to call into the show and discuss this great point about use of weapons of mass destruction. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we will be right back.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Life, liberty, and property do not exist because men have made laws. On the contrary, it was the fact that life, liberty, and property existed beforehand that caused men to make laws in the first place. Frederick Bastiat.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual.
Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
The people never give up their liberties, but under some delusion. Edmund Burke.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis. Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
We welcome you back to Christian Worldview. Currently in Greenville, it's about 58 degrees, going to get up to 77 degrees this afternoon. And there might be some showers in the afternoon, so be prepared as you make your way on out to work. Glad you joined us this morning to help your day be brighter, deeper thinking, and better prepared. Our goal is to help Christians in South Carolina and elsewhere in the world be better prepared to do the service of Christ and to adopt the vision of the founders rather than the vision of the Lincolnites in the public schools. You know, last hour we were talking about this business of a foreign invasion, spawned by a letter from Corey Burnell regarding this. He's a Christian Exodus president. Appreciate his work. You know, the Lincolnites, or those who were the revisionist historians, have often said, well, the reason that Lincoln had to go into the South primarily was to stop slavery. And then what they failed to disclose to most people is that very few people own slaves. It might be something like 2% of Southerners own slaves. It might not even be that many at all. It might be less than 0.5% who actually owned chain gang type plantations. So if indeed that were the reason, and of course it's not, it's a lie, but if it were the main reason that Lincoln came down here with his army, why would he attack, brutally assault, the other 98% of people? Well, the idea is, well, they're complicit. They haven't opposed well enough Lincoln. They haven't opposed well enough slavery. They've allowed it in their state by voting for it. Well, even if you could find 51% of the population, or whatever percentage it was, that promoted the law or voted on it at some point in life, which is doubtful because as an institution, it's not like it came up for a vote every year. And you could show that they were not actively involved in resisting slavery. How would you identify those people as an army, and how would you, in the world, could you justify still slaughtering off all of the others who opposed the institution? Robert E. Lee, for instance, was opposed to it. He freed all of his slaves that he had inherited. So would he be complicit because he lived in Virginia, and therefore because Virginia still had slavery on the books, so that he be, you know, should he be punished? It's tantamount to saying, well, Dr. Coben, you live 15 blocks from an abortion clinic. or 15 miles from an abortion clinic, or even a state away from an abortion clinic, and they kill innocent children there, we're going to go wipe out that clinic. But because you're complicit, haven't done enough to save these children and oppose this policy, and haven't actually won elections, we're going to kill you too. This is the same logic the left has used for a long time. Now, not Corey's trying to get around that a little bit, saying, look, we have it's a different case. We're defending ourselves by an offensive action. That doesn't make much sense to me, by the way. And he did ask a very good point later on, and that is, what do we do with preemptive strikes? Can we go and simply attack an assailant like we did in Hiroshima ever if there are innocents involved that we know will certainly be killed? And my answer is clearly no. You don't have a right as an American aggressor to go and attack with a weapon of mass destruction a nation, because God does not deal with nations anymore. I'm sorry, folks, but the word nation, if you've been led to believe otherwise, if my people, which are called by my name, blah, 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 the word nation in the scriptures always refers to an ethnic group. It does not refer to the people who are confined in a political boundary. It does not refer to that. So the nation of America doesn't exist in a biblical sense, because there are so many ethnic groups here in America. The idea of nation has passed. The idea that God deals with people as a nation is done. Now, I know that there's some dispensationalists out there that are thinking, well, this is a problem because God still deals with the nation of Israel, the ethnic group of Israel. I don't believe so. I mean, I'm not a dispensationalist. I don't see any role in the world for Israel. But be that as it may, I appreciate the fact that other Christians disagree, and they do believe that that nation still has a special place in God's economy. Fine. Let's leave that aside for now. This isn't a discussion between dispensationalism and amillennialism and so forth. But nevertheless, God does not look at the nation of Japan as a whole and a unit and say, well, one person has sinned over there, and therefore they're all complicit, and they all have to be judged just as they were in the Old Testament. We don't have a right to think that way in the New Testament. America as a nation does not get to attack another nation and wipe it out completely as we would the Amalekites or the people at Jericho or Achan, or I'm not Achan, but Ai, and so forth. This is simply not correct thinking biblically. It's not a Christian worldview to attack nations. So at any rate, those are some other points that came out of Corey's email. I thought that was an excellent comment, excellent point for discussion. Hope that some of you might be willing to call in and discuss it even more if you're interested here at Christian Worldview. You can reach us at 864-244-8177, or you can also call our alternate line if you can't get through on that one at 864-201-6955. Send your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week by email to questions@policyofliberty.net. Questions@policyofliberty.net. Well, there are so many articles and things that I have to cover today. I don't think we'll be able to do them all. In fact, I've got to make a couple of quick announcements here. One is just to remind you, we'll try to get all these articles in as much as possible. Confederate Memorial Day, come and honor those who wore the gray tomorrow at 2 p.m. at Clinton Square. That's in Clinton, for those of you who don't know. It's really pronounced Clinton. And it's sponsored by the Lawrence Breyer Sons of Confederate Veterans Camp. For information or details, call James DeShields after 6 o'clock Monday through Friday at 864-969-5029. That number again, 864-969-5029, for Confederate Memorial Day tomorrow in Clinton at 2 o'clock. We also want to remind you about the Institute for the Constitution. The Institute for the Constitution will be occurring on Monday. Be prepared. Go to the Institute for the Constitution at South Point Baptist Church. Pastor Tony Romo, it can be reached at 864-269-1443 for information or to register. That's 864-269-1443. He gave an excellent talk last night at the League of the South meeting. I'm a member of the League of the South, and I think that you should be as well. League of the South stands not only for Southern heritage, it stands for reduction in taxes, it stands for pro-life, pro-gun, and it stands for the purposes and principles of our founders as were upheld by the Southerners in that grand war of Yankee aggression. Classes began on April 11th, and they're continuing every Monday for 12 weeks, actually another 9 weeks now. Starts at 7 o'clock and goes till 8:30. Encourage you to go. Please check it out. It's worthwhile going to this. It helps you think better. Even though you're going to hear some things you might not agree with, you're going to be stirred up to think about very important things, like why we shouldn't, for instance, well, at least some of us believed there at the last meeting, shouldn't do the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, and why churches should not have flags in the sanctuary whatsoever. Yes, pastors, you sinned again if you've got a flag in your sanctuary. Your allegiance is to Christ, not to any particular worldly nation. I know that's a tough thing for Christians to hear today, but someone's got to tell it to you. It might as well be me. I'm not on your payroll. I don't have to worry about the deacon board firing me. You can't fire me. I'm here serving the Lord, trying to promote the truth, whether you like it or not. Well, I don't mean to be mean, folks. I want to be loving and kind. I know that you may be flying the flag in your sanctuary to be just out of ignorance, but here, think about it, folks. You should not have any allegiance to the state. The church and the state have nothing to do with one another. They're in a competing kingdom, as far as I'm concerned, and many, many people in history have understood. So get the flag out of the sanctuary and stop pledging your allegiance to the flag. Let's pledge our allegiance to Jesus Christ and His church and His kingdom. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in a minute.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. Government is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. President George Washington.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NP Pros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, P-R-O-S as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's nppros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.nppros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
Public schools will never excel because they lack intellectual capital and have to compensate for too many social problems. Daniel Golden.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And here's a couple of shocking stories for you. Brave new school, says WorldNet Daily. Dad arrested after protesting gay book. Our parental requests from our own child were flat out denied, posted April 29th. Our father, who protested a pro-homosexual book his six-year-old son had been given in school, spent a night in jail after being arrested by police. Every time I read this, I can't help but immediately start thinking, why do some of you folks who listen, who claim to be Christians or those who love liberty, have your children in a government indoctrination center? I have no idea why, after the truth is so clear and it's so obvious from so many corners now coming out, what's going on in public schools, you're supporting this thing. This is absolutely absurd. You have no reason that you would have to put up with this sort of thing. Your son, six-year-old son, gave you giving a pro-homosexual book. Yes, let's learn about sodomy in six when we're 6 years old. David Parker, 42, confronted officials at Joseph Estabrook School in Lexington, Massachusetts, Wednesday after his son brought home a copy of Who's in a Family, a storybook that includes characters who are homosexual parents, the Boston Herald reported. According to the report, Parker refused to leave a meeting after Lexington Superintendent Bill Hurley rejected his request that he be notified when his son is exposed to any discussion about same-sex household as part of classroom instruction. Police arrested Parker for trespassing, and he spent a night in jail before posting a $1,000 personal surety bond, Boston's TV station reported. Our parental requests for our own child were flat out denied, Parker said in a statement. Parker said school officials have continued to tell him he has no right to control whether or not his child is taught about same-sex marriage. You know what, Parker? You do have a right, and thankfully still in America we do. You go down there immediately this morning if your kid's in that place. You put him in your car, buckle his seatbelt if you want, and just run down the road and never go back. Forget about final exams, forget about grades. You say bye-bye to the Government Indoctrination Center and pull your kid out of this thing. And all of you Christians who think it's okay for your kids to be salt and light in this kind of environment are vastly and tragically deceived. You're misled. You need to get them out. And don't give us the excuse, please. I'm preaching here a little bit because this is hard. This is what Christians lose, the battle. That's why I'm trying to really point out to you folks that you need to get your kids out of these government schools. It's just preposterous to have them there. You can do it. I know that it's sometimes hard to afford going to a Christian school, and I'm not a big advocate of Christian schooling. I'm not against it by any means. But look, every parent can homeschool. Every parent, as Ben Graydon points out, is already a homeschooler. They already have the obligation from God to do that. You are, as Pastor Romo said last night in his speech, the only person qualified to teach your children. No one has to certify you from the state in order to be able to teach your own kids. It's just lunacy that we bought into because we've been indoctrinated ourselves. You need to go ahead and get your kids out of there and put them in a homeschool environment. Well, but Dr. Coben, we can't because we both work. You still can do it. It's harder. Even single parents can homeschool. You get up at 6 a.m., you give them their books, you have them sit there with you while they're eating breakfast, and you teach them some of the things as they're going through the books and show them what needs to be done for an hour. Then, you know, you got up a little bit earlier, I know, and that's a little bit harder sometimes, but you get on your way to work and you leave them with grandma or whoever's going to be able to take care of your kid during the day while you have to go to work and give them the assignment that they'll complete those books on their own while you're gone. And in the evening, you come back and you find that you have all their books piled up nicely and neatly. You tell them, give me the books, please. And you grade the English book, then math. And after you grade one book, you sit them down. You say, oh, now question 8, 9, and 14 were wrong. I want you to go, and this is why, I want you to go and correct these right now. While he's correcting those, you correct the math book. And as soon as he brings English back corrected, you give him the math to correct his answers. And so basically you have an hour in the morning and an hour in the evening. Have dad do an hour in the morning and mom do an hour in the evening or vice versa, and you will be able to homeschool your children. Is that the most effective way of homeschooling? No, probably not. There are probably better ways to do it, like one parent staying home part-time to do it. But you can effectively homeschool a child in 3 hours a day if you do it well. And 2 hours or an hour and a half with about 3 hours of his own self-study during the day. It can be done. It can be done inexpensively, $200 a year. There is no reason to excuse yourself by sending your kids to the public school because you have to work two jobs. That's really more a word of encouragement. A lot of parents don't, I don't mean to be so sound hypercritical. I'm just upset, I suppose, left over from reading about this nonsense that goes on in these schools. But listen, you folks who are Christians can do this, even with a two-income family or even as a single parent. Go to my website, policyofliberty.net, and scroll down and read some of the articles I've written before on homeschooling and encouraging homeschooling mothers as our champions of liberty and our protectors of the truth here in America. We applaud you very much, especially the homeschooling mothers and fathers. And we encourage you to try to homeschool if you think that you're between a rock and a hard place. Don't believe it. The government school center is not the only option you have. You can homeschool. It will be a little more difficult for you. You might have to miss bowling leave or might only sleep 6.5 hours a night instead of 7 hours and 15 minutes. I don't know. But you can do this if it's an important enough principle for you, and I hope that it will be. You got to get your kids out of this nefarious place, the public school. All right. Also want to move on to another story, and that has to do with workers being charged now for taking payoffs for IDs. In Washington, thousands of illegal immigrants have obtained driver's license, Fox News reports, in three states. Federal authorities said Thursday, highlighting a security hole that the September 11th hijackers exploited. The three employees of Florida's motor vehicles agencies were among 52 people arrested in a bribery scam that put driver's licenses in the hands of at least 2,000 illegal immigrants, officials said. The case announced Thursday follows similar arrests in Michigan and Maryland over the past week. Well, folks, people are concerned about illegal immigration, and this proves my point precisely, that you cannot trust the government who has completely failed to block illegal immigration, assuming that's a problem. I know some people disagree that it is even a problem in the first place, but let's assume for a minute it is a problem. The solution is not going to be to use the same failed government to protect us. This is an error, I think. It's better to look to a free market solution, to privatize the borders, to give contractors the surveillance rights or privileges here there on the border, and pay them to do it. Make them use the money efficiently rather than build fences or, you know, whatever else it is to keep people out. Governments will always fail because they're subject to perverse incentives and will be subject to bribery and these kinds of scams and other kinds of corruption, and it will not work. You simply will not get a government solution that corrects this so-called problem. So, I wrote an article on this. It's a Liberty Minutes that's played on TRN during the day still. I think it's a good thing to think about, a free market solution to any immigration problems there might be. You've already seen free markets be effective with the Minuteman Project, haven't you? Why keep promoting that the U.S. government needs to spend a lot of taxpayer money to go down there and cause and stop this problem when they caused it in the first place, and obviously government is susceptible for not doing it at this job at any rate, as we see in this story that came out on Fox today. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Will Rogers said, "Those who complain about the high cost of government should be glad we're not getting all the government we're paying for."
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking, and we'll soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
We have the rights as individuals to give as much of our own money as we please to charity, but as members of Congress, we have no right so to appropriate a dollar of public money. Congressman Davy Crockett.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we welcome you back into the program here, Christian Worldview, with Dr. John Coben. We're talking about immigration, and the research staff had sent up an article called The Benefits of Immigration. This is the other side of things. We're not talking about, I know, illegal immigration anymore. We're talking about immigration generally. I think it's important to bring up this positive note. This is an article written in The Freeman, Ideas on Liberty, in December 1977 by Donald Boudreau, who used to be the president of the Foundation for Economic Education. That's FEE.org, an excellent institution, which we're very supportive of here. He's now a professor at the economics department at George Mason University, my alma mater. The only place to go if you want to study public policy and economics and you want to have a chance at getting out unscathed with a bunch of liberal indoctrination. That truly is the case there at George Mason. Not that it's perfect. You notice I didn't say you weren't going to run into a raving and ranting Hitlerite or neo-Nazi or some crazy liberal that wants to, you know, abort children up to age 10 or something. You will run into those people there, but there'll be fewer, and you'll also have some sane people, many sane people in the academy. Most of us who are sane are not allowed into the academy. We don't qualify. We're not politically correct. We're a little bit too rough. You know, we rock the boat a little bit too much. and that's all right. We don't mind rocking the boat. We're not going to compromise principle just in order to hold down a tenured academic position. Just look at Dr. or Professor Tomosky down in Georgia is another good example of this. People who stand up for the truth usually do not make it through the academy. That's not true everywhere. And George Mason is a good example. There are high-quality people there who have gotten in standing up for the truth. Of course, it helps to have outside funding, like Walter Williams, whenever he gets called to the carpet by one of the liberal faculty or the president or the provost or something, and told and threatened. You know, Walter can simply respond, well, go ahead and cut my salary in half if you want. I'm not going to shut up. I'm going to say what I want. Of course, his salary from George Mason is $1 per year, so he doesn't mind taking the cut too much, especially because he has all these outside sources. It's great to have your own money and not be under a stranglehold situation by these goons that run universities. Same thing with pastors. It'd be a whole lot better, as one pastor I know is trying to do, to get your own business, get your own money. Then you don't have to be at the mercy of this deacon board that's preventing you because of the fear of man and the fear of losing your job to preach the truth. Look, pastors, if you don't get out there and preach the truth to people, how is your congregation going to know? And don't try to say, oh, well, they've got a responsibility to know on their own. It's not really my fault. God gives you the requirement in James 3:1 and elsewhere to be to teach these people the truth and to shepherd these people. You're going to be held responsible if they don't hear the truth. And you can't just give gradualism the upper hand all the time and say, well, maybe over 6 or 7 years we'll be able to teach people the truth. You know, we'll slightly get them in there. Well, you know, that might work a little bit, but in general, you have an obligation to tell people what's right, and you should do so. At any rate, I think I do need to harp on pastors. I mean, thinking about this a little bit more, it's not being ruthless or cruel or mean or insensitive to do so. The truth is the truth. If we don't have the truth, what have we got left? Pastors who simply say, I know this is right, Dr. Coben, but I can't tell my congregation. The deacons will get mad at me, or the elders won't like it. Well, who cares? I mean, are you trying to please God or men? Do you have no faith that God will provide for your needs, not provide for your needs if you speak the truth? I don't think so. You need to stand up for what's right. I'm not a pastor or a preacher, nor am I qualified to be one, but I certainly am going to tell you the truth. If you won't listen to anyone else, let me be the lone Deborah, so to speak, out there who will say something, even though I'm not qualified to do it myself. Pastor Tony Romo, by the way, last night told the truth. He says it's cost him some church members because of that, of telling the truth about that and other things over time, but I applaud him for doing that. I hope there are some others in South Carolina who are doing the same thing. I know at least a couple others that are making some attempts, at least. Anyway, Donald Boudreau's article, a little bit of a tangent there. Getting back to his article, he says, I have, in my October notes from FEE, I challenged, that's Foundation for Economic Education, I challenged a case made some market advocates for immigration restrictions. I have since received scolding letters and emails from numerous people predicting that open borders would bring all manners of calamities. Government should not redistribute income to immigrants, but neither should government prevent immigration. Each immigrant comes to America to make himself better off. Suppose government no longer redistributes income to immigrants. Would immigrants still relocate here? You bet. A handful will come because some Americans are willing to use their own resources to care for them. Most immigrants will come because each has sufficient skill and ambition to profit in the market. And he says he's going to give a hypothetical example. He says, Juan is a hypothetical immigrant. He arrives in America and immediately begins looking for employment. Before finding a job, he must secure food, clothing, and shelter. He may do so from funds brought with him from his own native country, or he may depend upon the kindness of friends, family, or charitable organizations here in the United States. In either case, because such transfers are voluntary, no American is harmed. If Juan resorts to theft, however, the story is different. And we're not talking about people that come over here to be criminals, are we? In Boudreau's article, he's talking about people that actually want to come here to work and better themselves, and there is voluntary exchange involved. He says, Juan, however, is no thief. He is a worker. Suppose that Juan has no skills of any value to any American. He can do nothing that any American is willing to pay for. In this case, Juan will eventually return home. No American is harmed again. Actually, Juan would probably not come to America in the first place. But Juan, let's assume, is extremely unlikely to lack any skill from which Americans are willing to pay some mutually agreeable wage, whether it's picking up trash or, you know, cutting a lawn, there's got to be something he can do. When Juan finds employment, not only is Juan made better off, but so too is his employer. Some people, however, are harmed by Juan's availability, namely American workers who compete with Juan. If Juan's most marketable skill is nearly identical to the most marketable skill possessed by Sam the American, Juan is a potential rival for Sam's job. Because of Juan, Sam's income may fall, and that's where the rub comes for a lot of people. More than that, prosperity cannot be bred by monopoly protections. Immigration opponents also fear that open market or open immigration means overcrowding. This worry is overblown. First, the United States is sparsely populated. Second, owners of private property have incentives to keep their properties from being overcrowded. The proper solution to overcrowding is privatizing those property holdings, not yet privatized, not forcibly stopping productive people from coming into our country. Manhattan is one of the most densely populated spots on Earth, yet it is also one of the wealthiest. So being dense does not necessarily mean poor. Oklahoma and Mississippi are sparsely populated, but are much poorer. I think Boudreau makes a great point. Immigration in itself is not a bad thing. And frankly, I really think that the free market is the best way to solve any potential immigration problems that might exist. I agree the Mexican problem is difficult because you have people coming over here who are subversive and are going to work against America. That is a different issue, of course, than immigration. But Boudreau is making an economic case that I think is irrefutable. You cannot be harmed by people coming here and providing their labor skills as a nation or a group. I said, I talked about nation earlier, political boundaried territory. We're not going to be harmed in that by people coming in here to work. We never have been. We are harmed, as Boudreau says, by the welfare state. As long as this exists and there are people getting handouts and so forth for different things, that is a disaster. But that's not a real problem with immigration. It's a problem with socialism in America. And assimilation is also a problem. But again, this is a problem caused by socialism, not by people who wanted to come here and just to learn the language and so forth as people haven't had in the past. So I think we need to rethink, folks, just how bad immigration, even illegal immigration, is, and look at the true culprits and work towards that. Even if we don't advocate open borders as Don Boudreau does, we at least have to think twice about what he's telling us, because economically, I think his thesis is irrefutable. At any rate, you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We've come to the bottom of the hour, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Life, liberty, and property do not exist because men have made laws. On the contrary, it was the fact that life, liberty, and property existed beforehand that caused men to make laws in the first place. Frederick Bastiat.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
The people never give up their liberties, but under some delusion. Edmund Burke.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And welcome back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. It's currently 56 degrees in Greenville, going to get up to a high of about 76 or 77 degrees today. Should be some possibility for afternoon showers, so as you're getting ready to go to work today, be prepared for the possibility of getting a little bit wet. Also want to remind you folks about a couple things. The Institute on the Constitution, Monday night. Be prepared and go to the Institute for the Constitution at 203 Ina Marie Lane, that's South Point Baptist Church. Monday night at 7 o'clock until 8:30. Rousing conversation last time, well worth going. If you want information, call Pastor Tony Romo at 864-269-1443 for information to register. That's 864-269-1443. Also tomorrow at 2 p.m. in Clinton, that's also pronounced some other places by as Clinton, in Clinton Square, at 2 o'clock, there will be Confederate Memorial Day. Come and honor those who wore the gray. For information or details, call this evening to James DeShields after 6 o'clock at 864-969-5029. Hope you can make it out and honor those who wore the gray. 864-969-5029, Clinton Square tomorrow at 2 o'clock. It should be an interesting event for sure. Well, at any rate, we've been having so many different articles and different themes on today's show. It's been an exciting show. Been interesting to discuss some of the emails that we've gotten in from folks. And actually, I had one of the folks, a regular listener to Christian Worldview, sent a story, and I thought that was also interesting to bring up. This one is published, I believe, at the local paper here, Greenville Online. It's called This Emails for You. And I thought it was an interesting story to read. He says, meet Dan. This is Justin Chapel writing. Meet Dan. He's a single secretary for some city office, and being strapped for cash like you and me, uses his city domain as his primary email account. This is where his frat brothers send dirty jokes and where he discusses the affairs of wild weekends. What Dan may not know is that his email, like that of mayors, police chiefs, and governors, is open for inspection. Anyone who doesn't like Dan, think former girlfriends, disgruntled employees, angry neighbors, can walk into the city office and request a selection of Dan's email because Dan works for us. That's the power of the Freedom of Information Act in the state. An email sent to or from a publicly provided computer is considered a public document. Technology has changed the stakes for your average worker who doesn't necessarily know that casual personal email from city computers isn't personal at all. Now, that opens up a lot of interesting thoughts for us who are opposed to the state and its vicious activities. That means that we might be able to use the Freedom of Information Act to actually get the email documents from different people that work in the state, including judges or people that are molesting us at any particular point in time. Interesting thought, and I saw that come in today from one of our listeners, and I appreciate him sending that in because that is indeed an interesting detail. I didn't know that we could actually FOIA and get these letters from government officials, whatever level of government they're in. Fascinating. Any rate, yeah, and who's going to police those emails? I wonder who's going to police the emails. Well. We also have this research sending us up the word for the day, and that word for the day is animadvert. I don't use this word, I'll have to admit. They always try to throw me a word I don't use. Well, there's probably many of them. You know, I went to a public school. I had to learn everything from age 19 on, so I was at a disadvantage, unlike my kids who have been homeschooled. At any rate, animadvert. I bet some homeschooler knows what that word is, and I have to admit I don't. It's not part of my regular vocabulary. It means to comment critically upon or to express criticism. Good words. He says, ask pundits across the entire media spectrum to animadvert on the moral sickness of modern society, and you'll expect many forests of newsprint to perish. So get your dictionary out. No new word, animadvert. Also, what else is happening in the news today? Woodpecker thought extinct is rediscovered. Washington, the ivory-billed woodpecker, once prized for its plumage and sought by American Indians, was thought to be extinct for years. Now it's been sighted again, and conservationists are exulting. The striking bird, last seen in 1944, has been rediscovered in the Big Woods area of Arkansas, scientists and conservationists reported Thursday. It is thrilling beyond words after 60 years of fading hope that we would ever see this spectacular bird again. Was it fading or gone? John W. Fitzpatrick, director of the Cornell Laboratory of Ornithology, said in a news conference. Since early 2004, there have been several independent sightings, including one caught on videotape of one or more of the birds. Frankly, a lot of these species that are supposedly extinct really aren't extinct, and they just use it to get political power. They get it to get their agenda pushed through, these false claims of extinctions and so forth. And here's just another example of one who was said to be extinct, which is not anymore. It's the special ivory-billed woodpecker, and he's still there. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. Government is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. President George Washington.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NP Pros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your nonprofit professionals. That's npros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
Public schools will never excel because they lack intellectual capital and have to compensate for too many social problems. Daniel Golden.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And how about this? Armed Females of America. Go ahead and check out that website. In fact, the research staff forwarded this to me and said, you got to see this. This is seriously a good site, Dr. Coben. And it says www.armedfemalesofamerica.com. Pro-gun women on full auto. A very cute website. And every one of their menu options is a cartridge, home, about us, interaction, mission, safety tips, get involved, how to join, resources. Looks like it has a very good site here, Armed Females of America. Yes, government agents, beware, we have armed females. Rapists, beware, we have armed females. Nice to know, and I'm glad they're out there and they're able to shoot. Nothing wrong with women being able to shoot guns in self-defense. Defend themselves against tyranny. So check out that site, Armed Females of America. Interesting. At any rate, we have a couple other interesting items. Voters in South Carolina will have an opportunity to weigh in on a constitutional amendment banning same-sex marriage next year, an amendment protecting traditional marriage, which was previously passed by the state Senate. Also passed the House by voice vote April 26th. Okay, well, here's this issue again about the same-sex marriage bill. What is the best way to solve the marriage crisis? Some people think, well, we need to have a constitutional amendment. Some people think, you know, to ban the so-called sodomite unions. Really, there's no such thing as gay marriage. I mean, it's preposterous to even consider such a thing. But be that as it may, I don't think That is the best solution. The best solution is to get government out of the marriage business entirely. It's only when we open the door to allow government the so-called right, or to usurp the right, and therefore thereby license marriages, that we have these problems at all. There should be no state-sanctioned marriage for anybody. Marriage is an institution ordained by God between a man and a woman. It can be formalized in a church before various witnesses. That's all it takes. When the state was let in, it just allowed and opened the door for all this other malarkey to occur. Then we wouldn't have problems with same-sex marriages and these kinds of issues coming up if we simply had the state having no right at all over marriage, no right to an authority over sanctioning it or licensing it or whatever else. So although the bill's coming up for a vote, I think it's rather irrelevant. We need to, as Christians and thinkers, start pushing for the elimination of state licensing of marriages whatsoever, and that'll by doing so get rid of any kind of sodomite unions that might occur as well. Okay, armed females of America again. I should read a couple of their mission statement pieces here. I really like this site. As armed females, our mission is to proudly represent all patriotic, strong, intelligent people who believe that no compromise means our rights and liberties are not to be bargained for. Compromising our sovereignty and liberty, birthrights, or honor is a direct slap in the face of our forefathers. Our right to keep and bear arms is an individual, inalienable right endowed by our Creator. A God-given right cannot be legislated, cannot be turned into a privilege by self-serving government. Requiring any permits, licenses, fingerprinting, background checks is illegal under the Constitution. We must preserve and restore our rights immediately and resist with full measure, and that means full auto, I suppose, any attempt to reduce our rights. Being politically correct at the expense of the truth is a weakness and has no place in a free society. And they say our human rights are worth fighting for, specifically our right to keep and bear arms. With God's blessing and our diligence, we aim to be free. Isn't that a great mission statement? Whoever put this armed females back side up is just excellent. Appreciate their work in making the armed females of America's site. In other news, we have a libertarian professor mobbed. Of course, libertarians, conservatives, both totally mistreated in universities, as we well know. Many examples of this. At any rate, this is about Professor Bean, who is one of the co-founders of CNET, the Southern Illinois region around Carbondale known as Egypt, has a long history of lynching and political violence. History faculty face off with professor after a vote for over an article. A group of history faculty is challenging the College of Liberal Arts Teacher of the Year because he used an article the group calls racist propaganda that was distributed in his large American history lecture as optional reading. Professor Jonathan Bean's use of an article entitled Remember the Zebra Killings, written by James Lubinskas, has sparked a debate about the boundaries of academic freedom, as well as what Bean calls a bomb being dropped on him and his reputation. Shirley Clay Scott, dean of the College of Liberal Arts, sent Bean a letter April 12th suggesting that the professor does not understand the parameters of discussion. What kind of nonsense language is that? Scott canceled Bean's discussion sections for the week and told his teaching assistants they did not have to continue teaching the course for the rest of the semester. Scott refused to comment about the issue. Bean said he has been spending this week trying to save his course. He has lost two of his three graduate teaching assistants to the issue. The teaching assistants would not comment about the incident. They have dropped a bomb on me and left my course in complete disarray, Bean said. Bean said he had apologized and pulled the article from his course before the allegations made by eight history professors in a letter to the editor was sent to the Daily Egyptian. Several professors said the faculty would have challenged the professor's use of the article through a formal review process, blah, blah, blah. The point is, these liberals don't want you to read certain things. They don't want you to know the truth. These are leftist indoctrination centers, and by and large, you can't avoid it. I think in any university, private or public, but in many places, so many leftists have taken over those positions of the tenured faculty that you end up with zero tolerance. And this is one example of it, this libertarian professor being slammed. We also have Bush touting the technology to save the energy woes. President Bush called for a construction of more nuclear power plants and urged Congress on Wednesday to give tax breaks for fuel-efficient hybrid and clean diesel cars. He also said he was powerless to bring down high gasoline costs. Well, okay. Well, at least you start drilling and somewhere else and increasing the supply. He said technology is the ticket. Okay, maybe so. The high cost of gasoline followed by a winter record of a record heating bill has begun to have both economic and political fallout, is believed to be pulling down Bush's popularity. In 2000, when he was seeking the Republican nomination for president and oil was nearing $28 a barrel, Bush criticized Clinton for high fuel prices, said the president must jawbone oil price nations to persuade them to drop rates. So I guess he's not doing what he said he would. Bush called for building more nuclear plants and refineries, and he called for Congress to enact $2.5 billion in tax breaks over the next 10 years for people to buy gas, electric, and clean diesel automobiles. These cars account for only a small percentage of vehicles in showrooms. Federal agencies to work with communities on this. The last application for a new reactor was submitted in 1973. He said Congress should make clear the federal government has the final say over locating import terminals for these kinds of larger energy supplies. Liquid natural gas, for instance, even when states and communities object to the projects. Time for America to start building again, he said. Well, Bush is obviously not wanting to. What was good for Bill Clinton is not good for him, apparently. There are ways that Bush could be working on lowering the energy costs. One issue here that needs to be brought up, though, is the American public. They don't care, apparently, as much. Bush remains popular when his vicious foreign policy is in place, when Bush is denying our right to do the Patriot Act, when he's compromising our liberty. Far greater problems that we face than simply paying twice as much for gasoline, although that's bad. Americans are more interested in about this short-term thing and a few bucks than they are about the tragic loss of rights and other things we have on account of this horrible President George W. Bush. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in a minute.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Will Rogers said, "Those who complain about the high cost of government should be glad we're not getting all the government we're paying for."
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking, and we'll soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
We have the rights as individuals to give as much of our own money as we please to charity. But as members of Congress, we have no right so to appropriate a dollar of public money. Congressman Davy Crockett.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or a comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we try to do that every day on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. I thought I wasn't going to be able to get through all these articles, and it turns out some of them are short towards the end here. And since we haven't had callers today for some reason, why aren't you calling, folks? Are you just mesmerized? Are you stunned? Are you in agreement? Well, I hope so. I hope the latter is true, at least. And I hope you've been persuaded by what you've heard today on Christian Worldview. Well, a couple of these short articles we should be able to get through quickly. This is a little something for the gun folks, which I am included. Condition 3, is it for you? Condition 3 is a mode of carry that I found to be the carry method of choice for some armed citizen. Consists of a full magazine in the gun, an empty chamber, and the hammer resting in the full forward half-cock position. When I ask why is it the choice of defensive carry, I get mixed responses. He says, training, an individual will forfeit approximately 50% of his marksmanship capability during the first few seconds of stress inducement from adrenaline release. It is also estimated that for every day a person does not train, he can lose up to 3% of his marksmanship capabilities. Couple of those numbers and apply them to a person who has not fired a round in several years, will have an individual who will empty a 15-round magazine and miss his target every time. under stress. So I guess we all need to practice more is the point. Here's another story of somewhat interest. Study linking middle-aged obesity to dementia. In London, the most convincing research so far suggests that being fat in your 40s might raise your risk of developing dementia later in life. The study data showed that roughly 7 out of 100 normal weight people developed dementia. Among overweight people, the risk was almost 8 out of 100. And for obese people, it was 9 out of 100, so a little bit higher. Questioning the confusion in the United States over the dangers of being overweight, last week the U.S. Centers for Disease Control said a new analysis showed that being too fat caused far fewer deaths than previous government estimates. Funded by the U.S. National Institutes for Health, the California study was conducted by the Kaiser Permanente Medical Foundation. Overweight people were 35% more likely to develop dementia. The effect was more profound for women than for men. That suggests that there's another pathway. It's not just being overweight that raises the risk of heart disease and diabetes, and that's why these people get dementia. The study was not able to explain how obesity might increase the risk of dementia, but does propose several theories. One is that fat cells are known to produce harmful inflammatory chemicals, and there is evidence that these may cross into the brain. James suggested a dietary lack of the right kinds of fatty acids, such as those found in fish, might also be a factor. It has also been shown that Western societies are short of fatty acids of this type, he said, adding that obese people will be very deficient in these long-chain essential effects, which are known to be fundamentals for brain development. Scientists are studying whether fish oil supplements can prevent dementia. Interesting for us to think about. Yes, our food supply may not be as clean as it really should be, that may be in part because of government regulation of the food industry. Of course, some people want to blame it on the farmers and the producers of food, but I always look at the first culprit to any problem in society. If it's not Satan himself or false religion, it's government, or I should say the state. Wow. Okay, another article coming up here. Lawmaker, NFL steroids policy may not be perfect. This also might be somewhat interesting to us. The NFL steroid policy is tough, but it's not perfect, so the government will make it perfect, one of my broadcast researchers says. The head of the Congressional Committee said Wednesday, adding that he plans to introduce a bill governing drug testing access to the spectrum of U.S. sports. The House Government Reform Committee's second hearing on the steroids by saying the second hearing on steroids by saying the NFL had been more cooperative than Major League Baseball was given when its drug program was examined publicly by the panel last month. California, along with Senator John McCain from Arizona, are working on legislation to create uniform policies for major sports. So they're going to try to regulate the major sports industries. Government can't leave anything alone. They want to get involved here get more power. That's always what they're after, folks. It's greater power. It's a policy with tough penalties that's getting tougher all the time, but it's not perfect, and that's one of the reasons we're here today, Davis said. The NFL's testing program has come under heightened scrutiny in recent weeks. Watch out for the state wanting to regulate all sorts of behavior in society, folks, with its proactive stance on policy. Finally, T. Norman Van Cott wrote a little article where he talked about cheap foreign. Well, you know, I'm looking at this thing right here. Well, okay, we'll see if we can't quickly run through this. Cheap foreign steel in the U.S. economy and high-priced imports, low prices on imports, and this whole business about whether or not we should import things or not. He says Abraham Lincoln import things as opposed to export them, as if there's a trade deficit problem. He says Abraham Lincoln provides a quintessential example of the peacetime, wartime contradiction. Recall that Lincoln, in his fledgling Republican Party, wrote a protectionist banner to power in 1860 elections. But as soon as war with the Confederacy broke out, Lincoln did an economic about-face, setting up naval blockades around Confederate seaports in order to hamper foreigners' ability to sell to Southerners. Don't look to historians for an explanation of Lincoln's about-face. They give Lincoln a pass on the contradiction. Just as today, pundits give mercantilists a pass on the oil versus steel software medical technology contradiction. Perhaps economists have higher grading standards than others, but getting your economics right 50% of the time means you may fail my course. Enough said. And that's T. Norman Van Cott, professor of economics at Ball State University in Muncie, reminding us of the evils of protectionism, and I do have to agree with that. Protectionism does not help anybody, or does not help the society at large and the vast majority of people, even though it benefits a small group. Well, you've listened to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben this morning. Glad that you did. Hope that you'll visit the policyofliberty.net website and enjoy the features and things that are there, including Liberty Minutes programs and the articles. Also want to remind you that this afternoon at starting around 12 o'clock or maybe a little before, we have our regular meeting at California Dreaming. If you can make it over to the California Dreaming near Pelham Road at I-85, you're welcome to join and listen in. Sometimes we just have a rousing talk about public policy issues. Be glad to see you there. And don't forget Confederate Memorial Day down in Clinton tomorrow morning. Call James DeShield or tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock. James DeShield at 864-969-5029. You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Hope to see you a little later this afternoon at California Dreaming. If not, hope to hear you tomorrow or have you on the air, listening on the air on Monday morning as we return with more great programming on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben on TRN. Join us again tomorrow morning right here at 97.7 FM on the Tyranny Response Network for